You're Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Leafs podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio. Also known as Al's brother from TSN's Overdrive. Hit me up on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. Follow the show as well at Locked On Leafs. If you like what you hear today, please consider subscribing to the podcast. Leave a rating or review as well. That would be much, much appreciated. All right, we're going to go over a couple of things today. So rookie camp has started, which is awesome. And it seems like this Alex Steeves cat has really been, well, just turning heads, it would appear, and he's playing really, really well. So I'll talk a little bit about Alex Steeves and rookie camp a little bit later in the show. But first, I want to go over, I did this Maple Leafs fan survey. I did it live with you guys, actually, on the podcast. I went through it. I talked about what decisions I wanted to make or what, it was a scale from 1 to 10. So I picked which number and I explained why I chose that one. And so what The Athletic did was they took all of that data and they made a nice little article about it. And you know, now I'm going to go through it and see what all of the fan base has to say and how it differs from my opinion. And realistically, the biggest, I guess, piece of information that we gathered from this was that optimism is on the decline and pessimism is on the rise with the Leafs. And that makes sense. I feel that way. I'm sure you guys feel that way. I was having this conversation today and discussing how it seems like there's more tension between the fan base and the team this summer or this fall, this upcoming training camp season than I've seen in a long time. Like last year, so much optimism. This season, though, it's like, you guys better get your act together or this is done. Like, that's honestly how it feels right now. Now, I don't know. I don't think that this team is going to do bad. I think it's going to be not difficult to get into the playoffs, but they're certainly not guaranteed a playoff spot. But if they get in there, if their stars perform the way that they do in the regular season, then I believe that this is a team that might be able to compete. They could contend. Let's go over and see what exactly the rest of Leafs Nation had to say with this, The Athletic fan survey. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how optimistic are you about the current Maple Leafs team? That is question 1. And like I said, these are all on a scale from 1 to 10. And 7 was the top answer at 27%. Over 1,200 answers said 7. So I think I was one of these 1,200 people who said 7 on how optimistic you are. And the funny part is that is a far cry from what it was last year when this happened, where I believe there was a lot more 9s and 10s back in April of 2020 when this was last asked. So that, I think, is interesting. 11% chose 9 or 10 back then. Only 4% chose 9 and 10 this time around. So that just goes to show how much optimism has fallen off for this Maple Leafs team. And hey, I mean, makes sense if you ask me. Definitely makes sense based on what they've done. Losing Hyman. They haven't replaced him. I mean, they've done a decent job at replacing him, I guess. Well, I suppose it remains to be seen, realistically. But they've got some names who might be able to fill in some of the void he left. Not completely, but some of it. All right, next one. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your confidence level in coach Sheldon Keefe after 103 games? Same answer. It's a 7. I mean, I believe I also gave a 7, maybe even an 8 for this. But 30% said they gave him a 7 out of 10. So I wouldn't say he's on the hot seat. Like, if they go out and they struggle the first couple of weeks, I don't think he's on the block. Like, he's not going to get fired. But if they don't win this season, then it gets a little bit warmer. I'll say that. A little warmer if they don't have success this season. And by the end of the year, if in the playoffs it doesn't go well, Now we're talking about a hot, hot seat. All right, now Kyle Dubas, confidence level in him after three seasons in his role. The winner. I'm actually pleasantly surprised. There seems to be a lot of the fan base that is extremely down on Kyle Dubas. But according to this survey, which granted is only people who subscribe to The Athletic, and even The Athletic admits that they're skewed slightly more towards numbers, right? Like analytics. So, and that's what Kyle Dubas runs this team based on a lot of the time is, you know, it's a very analytically run organization. So surprised that coming in at 22.3% of the votes was a 7, and then 22% was an 8. So a 7 and 8. So we'll call this even a 7.5 because it's basically the same thing here. There's a matter of 12 vote difference between 7 and 8 of being the top two spots. But I'm just a little surprised that this was honestly that high. I thought it would be a little bit lower just based on the fact that, this team has not been able to construct themselves in a deep enough fashion to the point where they can make a deep playoff run. It just hasn't happened. They've got the horses up front, right? But just haven't been able to put together a full cavalry to make a long run in the playoffs. And, I mean, Kyle Dubas is the architect, right? So, yeah, a little bit surprised that is that high and that there's that many people who give him an 8 out of 10. Scale of 1 to 10, confidence level of President Brendan Shanahan, basically the same thing, 7 and 8. On a scale of 1 to 10, your confidence level in the Leafs scouting department, primarily amateur, I believe I gave an 8 because I think they found some decent pieces late in the draft. You think Robertson was a second-round pick. I think Matthew Nyes was a really good pick this season. They've got some nice pieces that they've been able to pick up a little bit later in drafts. Mac Hollowell, I think in the next couple of years, is going to make the NHL. He was a late-round pick. You've got some other guys, too. And it came in as a 7. So right around where I figured it would come in at, considering they haven't had top picks, I suppose it makes sense to come in at 7. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate how well you're treated as a fan by the organization? I think I gave him a 5, which looks like that was, no, actually 7 is the top answer here. So more people said 7 out of 10. I cheekily gave him a 5, and I was like, well, they lose consistently in the first round, so I feel like garbage because I don't like that. So I think I cheekily gave him a 5, but I mean a 7 probably makes a little bit more sense. It's a fun team. They give you guys like Marner and Matthews and Morgan Riley, Tavares, Nylander to watch on a nightly basis, right? And they're not afraid to pay for development. So I guess, you know, we're treated fairly well. I'll also say this, though. Paying $23 for a beer when I'm at the Scotiabank Arena, that's not treating me well. So that also factored into me giving them a 5. All right, getting into a little bit more of some pie chart looking questions here. Who is your favorite member of the Maple Leafs? And unsurprisingly, Austin Matthews came in with a whopping 45% of the vote. And the closest to that was 12.2%. That was by Jason Spezza. And then coming in at 12% in third was William Nylander. I'm not at, like, it's a tiny bit surprising because of how much there were Nylander haters coming into, like, literally this season, like the last 3 years up until, like, legitimately probably last March. Nylander was the whipping boy of this fan base, and now all of a sudden he's the third favorite. It surprised me a little bit. Mitch Marner came in as the fourth favorite, with Morgan Riley coming in as the fourth. So, you know, Marner, I think his playoff struggles definitely played a role into being considered a favorite member of this Leafs team. And when a guy does not score in his last 18 playoff games, yeah, I don't think you're going to you're going to make a lot of people happy. Which is interesting because last time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Marner had 35% of the votes last time. So, yeah. Who is your favorite Maple Leafs player of all time? So, like I said when I did this originally, I felt that the answer to this question would be based on specifically what era you were born in. What era did you grow up in, more so, actually? What era were you in your adolescence loving this team? Or what era was there the most success with this team? And to no surprise, Matt Sundin came in as the favorite at 32%, followed by Doug Gilmore and then Wendell Clark. And Austin Matthews came in at fourth at 11%. If Kyle Dubas had to trade a core member of the Maple Leafs in the next 6 months, who should it be? The answer over... No, there was really only two big answers. And the first one, the one who ended up in first place was Mitch Marner, which actually... Like, it doesn't surprise me that the fan base said Mitch Marner, just because everybody seems to want to move on from him because he's a guy who can't get it done in the playoffs. Just can't get her done. I mean, sure, I suppose that he has not gotten it done in the playoffs. But this isn't somebody who I'd be looking to trade realistically. So I'm a little bit surprised, but not really, that this is the top one. My answer was Morgan Rielly, strictly because... You know, not sure if they're going to be able to strike a deal with Mo, and his contract is coming up. And, you know, instead of letting another star walk and getting zero assets for it, why not try and see if you can get something for Morgan Rielly? All right, what's the biggest obstacle between the Leafs and the Stanley Cup? So the number one answer, according to The Athletic, is... They're the Leafs. And yeah, fair. They are the Leafs. But the second one is forwards. Goaltending come in at 10%. Look, my answer, and it looks like it comes in as the fourth most voted upon. My answer is management. Like, I think that if you're looking at it and you're like, oh, maybe it's defense, maybe it's a bit of goaltending, maybe it's the forwards. If it's all of these players, which make up a large portion of this pie chart that I'm looking at here on the Athletic's webpage, that to me means that it's the management. He's the one who puts this team on the ice. That is all him. So to me, it's management is the biggest obstacle between the Leafs and the Stanley Cup. The fact that he's mismanaged the cap so that there's no depth up and forward. They don't have like a true elite goaltender. Their defense is getting a little bit better, but they don't have like a true stud number one, you know, because of the way that they kind of fluffed around with the cap the last few seasons. They weren't able to seriously pursue a true number one like Alex Pietrangelo, who was very close to coming to Toronto, but they couldn't match the offer that was handed to him by Vegas. So, you know, those type of reasons is why I think the management is somewhat the biggest obstacle, because they just keep shooting themselves, or kept shooting themselves in the foot with the big four negotiations, and it's really hurt them here down the stretch. I mean, letting so many guys just walk, and they're just unable to retain them, but they're a playoff contender, so they also don't just want to move him for futures, because they want to compete in the playoffs. So a guy like JVR, guys like Bozak, and Tyson Barry last year, you know, Zach Hyman, you couldn't trade them at the deadline and get something, because they also were big factors into your team, and a team that was going to make the playoffs and that you felt could potentially make a run and compete. So management to me is kind of the biggest obstacle there. Maybe a little bit of a outside the box thought on that question, but that's kind of how I looked at it. How would you describe your level of satisfaction rooting for the Leafs right now? 47% said they are resigned. 27% said hopeful. The smallest portion said happy. Angry comes in at 14% and content at 8%. So resigned and angry making up the majority of the way that Leafs feel right now. So that's... goes to say what I was saying earlier. There's a lot of tension with the Leafs organization and the fan base That just goes to prove it. Right? Over 50% of the fan base is either resigned or angry with this team, with the level of satisfaction rooting for this team. Which offseason addition did you like the most? This one was pretty well split between, well, a couple of guys. There's really four players here, but Nick Ritchie made up the most of the votes at 28%. Peter Mrazek came in at 26.1%. Michael Bunting, who I believe was my choice, coming in at 18.8%. And then Andre Kasha at 15.1%. By the way, Michael Bunting skating on a line with John Tavares at informal skates. Make of that as you will. But to me, that somewhat says perhaps that could be the plan for Bunting. Skate him with Tavares and William Nylander, and, you know, you turn those guys into a high-volume shooting line. You get Bunting to sit in front of the net. I like it. Go dig. Go get the puck. Get out in front for Willie. Go get it for JT. That could be a decent line. Okay, next one here. Which offseason addition did you like least? I don't think I actually answered. I think I said I may have just left it, to be honest. But the number one answer was David Kampf. And I don't quite understand why. It was like $1.5 million for a guy who's going to be your shutdown third-line center. Or maybe even a shutdown fourth-line center. But he's a shutdown defender who's going to be a big part of your penalty kill. I'm more than okay spending a million and a half on that. I'm really surprised how much of Leafs Nation had an issue with this signing. Really, really surprised by it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel the Leafs did at the 2021 NHL draft? So they got the most votes for a 5 out of 10 at 26%, second most at 6 out of 10. So people felt in the middle, like, it was okay. And I guess I could agree. You know, they only had, what, a 2, a 5, and like a 7. So they didn't really bring in like high caliber talent. Like I said, I like Matthew Nyes. I think that he could be a good player, an NHLer for this club. But did they get any superstar talent? No, probably not. I mean, you never know. Maybe Luke Voigt turns into something. But as of now, I think a 5 out of 10 is probably appropriate. Did the Leafs make the right decision letting Zach Hyman go? I commend you, Leafs Nation. I really commend you here. 81% said yes. I thought it would be close to a 50-50. But it really makes sense that Leafs fans understand the business side of how things work. It was not feasible for this team to keep Zach Hyman if he was looking to get a matched offer on what he got in Edmonton. There's no way that the Leafs were going to be able to do that. Just couldn't happen. So the fact that a lot of you Leafs fans realized this and answered yes, it was the right decision, just makes me happy. Makes me happy that you guys understand what is going on. Because there is a large segment of this fan base that just don't care about salary cap. Don't really think about things like that. And I was like, no, keep everybody. Trade for this guy. Trade for that guy. It's like, yeah, there's not a lot of flexibility with the cap to do things. Sorry about that, pal. This one was just a whopping favorite. Did the Maple Leafs make the right decision letting Frederik Andersen go? 95% said yes. No controversy there, and I agree. Did the Leafs make the right decision in keeping their top four big money forwards? I'm somewhat surprised that yes was the overwhelming answer at 57%. So they... a lot of the fan base agrees that Dubas' approach here, like, keep her going. Stick with it. 58% say yes. I agree with the approach to stick with the core four. Let's keep it going. 42% say, nope, should trade one. I believe I said yes as well. Just, if I could go back in time, I probably wouldn't have made one of these signings. But as of now, I don't know if I would trade away any of the signings either. Should the Leafs re-sign Morgan Rielly for $7 million on a 7 or 8 year deal? No. Overwhelmingly coming in at 56.5%, 43% said yes. I was on the wrong side of this one. I said yes. And you take a look at what Morgan Rielly or what the defensive market looks like right now, $7 million, that seems like on the low end of what he might be able to get on the open market. So if he's coming here and signs 7x7, sign me up. Happening. Yes, please. Sign me up. I'm also, I'm pretty sure I read a report that the salary cap is going up $1 million or $1.5 million. So, you know, you can get a little bit of the cap going up from, would that be a $2 million increase in pay? You get $1.5 million of that covered by the cap going up, or at least half of it by the cap going up. So, you know, that is a kind of another way to look at it, I suppose, for Morgan Riley getting a pay bump. But you need him. You need him to stay. You really do. Taking a look at the next one here. What is your biggest remaining concern with the Leafs roster? Overall depth, overwhelmingly, at 62.1%. I said the exact same thing. The depth is a little bit questionable on this team. Outside of like the core four, there's a lot of question marks, especially, you know, on the left side, lots of question marks. I mean, guys like Michael Bunting, they're just rolling the dice on. Same with Nick Ritchie. Maybe Nick Robertson can, you know, muster his way into that conversation. Is Ilya Mikheyev going to try and be a factor into here? Regardless, there's not much scoring depth on this team outside of the big four. So overall depth is the right answer, and 62% of the people who filled out this survey, in my opinion, were correct. Assuming an 82-game season, how many games should Jack Campbell play this year? And coming in at 74.4%, the answer was 40 to 49 games. So a 50-50 split, essentially, is what people are predicting, and I think that's bang on. Yeah, him and Peter Mrazek, both more so tandem goaltenders. So, you know, I could see this certainly being more of like 47 starts for Campbell, 35 starts for Peter Mrazek. And so that puts him in between the 40 and 49, which is where I had it as well. So it makes sense. I think that's how you're going to get the best out of both of these goaltenders as well. Which winger should play with Matthews and Marner? And coming in at 33% is Nick Ritchie. And it seems like Nick Ritchie is going to be the most likely player. Like I said earlier, Michael Bunting skating on a line with Tavares in. Now, these are just like informal skates, so it could just be that not everybody's in town and just is what it is. They could very well not be skating together once the real stuff starts, but for Nick Ritchie to come in at number one, I think makes sense, and I think this is possible. I think I also heard that Nick Ritchie really all offseason has been trying to work on his foot speed, and I think, did I read that he was working on it with maybe Haley Wickenheiser? Or Barb Underhill, sorry, the skating coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs. If so, I mean, that's a positive sign, right? You increase his foot speed to play up and keep up with guys like Marner and Matthews. I think that's a really good thing for Nick Ritchie if that's the case. If he was told, look, you could have an opportunity in the top six here, but I think it would be beneficial for you to improve your foot speed. And it seems like he took that and is running with it. And it looks like the fan base also wants to see him get a shot on the top line. Who do you believe should be the Leafs' number three center this season? At 50%, it is David Kampf. That makes a whole lot of sense because that's exactly what he's brought in to be. Third line, shutdown center, penalty kill specialist. That's what he is. I think that's what he will be. And that pretty much is all I have to say about that. Should the Leafs keep Nick Robertson in the NHL this season? 58% said yes, he's too good for the AHL. And 42% said nope, the Leafs forward group is too crowded. I said no for this one as well. I agree. I think the Leafs forward group is just a tad too crowded. I'm going to list off a name of 13 forwards, and you let me know which one you believe Nick Robertson will get priority over. Auston Matthews? Definitely not. Mitch Marner? Hell no. Tavares? Nope. Nylander? Nick Ritchie, probably not. Andre Kasha, well, if he isn't healthy, maybe he slips in here. But we got a list of 13 names, so we need two players for him to overcome their roster spot for him to get in here. Michael Bunting, I don't think so. Kerfoot, definitely not. Kampf, nope. Spezza, Probably not. Mikheyev, nope. Sounds like he's going to be a piece of this team, and they want him to be a piece of this team, so that's a no. Wayne Simmons, definitely not. Brings different intangibles. Pierre Engvall, maybe. But I think you're looking at a guy like Nick Robertson, probably as opposed to playing him on the fourth line, he would be better suited in a top role in the AHL, since top six is more likely where the Leafs see him in the future. Should the Leafs keep Timothy Liljegren in the NHL this season? No was 41%. Yes was 58%. So both Liljegren and Robertson, basically the same numbers, actually. People want to keep these guys in the NHL. We'll see with Liljegren. I mean, I don't know about that one either, just because he's not one of the top six. And do you want him healthy, scratched every night? Nope. Probably want him playing. So I think he probably will end up going back down to the minors as well. Have the roster changes this offseason affected your confidence in the front office? 54% said there is no change. Nah. Meh. I don't remember. I don't think I actually answered this one. I think I may have skipped this one. But I would say, I know the roster affected your confidence. Not really. Like, yeah, I guess no change is really the answer to that question. The Leafs finished on a 113-point pace last season. How many do you predict they'll get next year, assuming an 82-game season? And coming in at 50% of the vote was 101 to 105 points, which supposedly is the type of numbers for Stanley Cup contenders, and that is what they're being projected at by 50%. Of the Leafs fan base. Coming in at 33% is 96 to 100 as a low playoff team. That's where I had them, to be quite honest with you. I think it's a tough division. Boston, Tampa, Florida, Montreal probably will still be, there'll be something, some fight in Montreal. So it's going to be a difficult, scrape and claw type year for Toronto. Not too many easy dubs. Yes, they'll play Detroit. Yes, they'll play Buffalo. And they'll do the California road trip. But there's a lot of interdivisional difficult teams and difficult games they'll have to do. And I think, somewhere between 96 and 100 points seems more likely to me than crossing the 100-point mark, which I believe would break the record for points in a season for the Maple Leafs. That's going to do it. There's one more. Which Leafs prospect are you most excited about? Nick Robertson comes in at 52%, Amirov 24%, and Matthew Nyes, the second rounder for this season, this past draft, at 8.5%. And that will do it for the Athletics fan survey. A little more pessimism in Leafs Nation, a little more doubt and skepticism and pressure is on Toronto right now than there was a season ago. That's going to do it for me here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcasts and platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. Follow the show at Locked On Leafs. I'll be back with another episode tomorrow. And until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.